Listen to what happens. As soon as they crossed over the Jordan, they come into the promised land. They ate from the produce of the land. When did they plant? They walked in to a harvest.
We are sowing God's word, growing in Christ, and bringing in the harvest. And now join us for today's message from Harvest Church.
Good. So you know what? So there's a really important word. And there's just a number of things that the Lord really pointed out strongly to me. And you know, one thing, and this is just such cool stuff. I mean, there's so many good things that the Lord is doing. You know, I mean, I know that sometimes you can get wrapped up with what you see with your eyes, but my God, it's so good. You know, can I tell you this? Within a matter of minutes, right? Hours just of you just saying, you know what, Lord, I want to hear you, Lord. I just acknowledge you, Lord. It's just so good. Like no matter what has ever occurred, you know, His goodness, like Pastor Mike was just saying, to give to us liberally. It's so good. He doesn't make you wait. Doesn't make you stew in your problem. Doesn't make you just hold on because you're going to learn a lesson. But just so good of how He just speaks to you. He doesn't withhold even for a second. You know, you just look and He just, it's just so good. So one of the things, and I tell you, and it's just beautiful because it's been rich so far since this morning, right? If your ears are open, which I believe they're open, you know, it's already been rich. And the word, you know, exert was just so good. And the Lord was just saying, no need to exert. And you know, the interesting thing about that word exert is that that's to make something forcefully come to pass, right? To exert, right? It's a forcefully bring something to pass. And you know why that is so outstanding is because, you know, and I don't even have words, just, you know, when the Lord speaks something to you, that's the best thing there is right then and there. When the Lord says something, there's nothing better right there. And when He said, you know, there's no need to exert, you know, how restful is that? How restful is that to know that you don't, you know, for you to exert yourself is that you're going to find something that you got to do, right? You're going to find some kind of a way that you're going to make something better. You're going to exert yourself. And thank God the Lord has not called us. He's just saying there's no need to exert. No need to exert yourself, because here's an awesome thing. So the Lord saved us, right? He saved you. He saved you. He said, and if we can just run there real quick, Colossians 1:13, right? Colossians 1:13 says, you know, He translated you out of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son. He's already done that. He's already saved you. That word saved, He saved you already from everything. He has delivered you from the corruption of this world. He's delivered you from the decay of it. He's made you full and perfect, right? He has the spirits of just men made perfect, right? Colossians 1:13, it says, for who hath delivered us already, thank God, it's past tense, from the power of darkness, and He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Into the kingdom of His dear Son, where Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, right? That's the kingdom that we're of. That's the kingdom we're of. So since we're receiving a kingdom, then cannot be shaken, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord is still. The Lord is seated. The work is done and all is finished, right? That's the kingdom that we're of. We're of a kingdom where our King sits in a place where the work that was needful to do has been finished, right? Normally that's not how kingdoms operate, right? Kingdoms of this earth operate in a way where a king is elected, or a king is forcefully entered in, right? And he reigns from there, having to finish work and do for the people. Thank God that we're of a kingdom where our King is seated, and the work that was needful to be done to deliver them and to rescue them and to help them and to comfort them, right, has been finished, right? And in that, right, it's so good. Listen, that there was a time, and actually let me just see here. So we were in 13, right? So let's do this. Colossians 1:13. You know what? Let's go up a little bit. Let's go up to verse number 11 is good. I know we're jumping into the middle of a thought there, but that's okay. Look at verse number 11. It says that we, and this is, listen, this is a prayer. This is Paul's prayer. This is his heart cry for the people. And he says, you know, that he prays for them. He prays for them that they, oh boy, how do you not read verse number 9? This is really killing me. Like I'm reading verse number 11, saying verse number 9 in my head. Like, if we keep going this way, we're going to go all the way back. Verse number 9, look what it says. It says, for this cause we also, since the day that we heard it, we don't cease to pray for you and to desire for you that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Where does spiritual understanding come from? The Spirit, right? That's why it's spiritual understanding, right? Right? Spiritual understanding, right? Thank God for that he speaks plainly, right? I know that there are people outside of the Spirit of God that don't get it, right? But thank God that we're good soil, right? So he says spiritual understanding, that you'd be filled with wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. He just said that you would be filled with all wisdom and understanding. That's how you walk worthy. People think that walking worthy is being a good girl, right? Being a good boy. But that's not how you walk worthy. You walk worthy when you're filled, right? Filled with all the knowledge and wisdom of God. Thank God for that, right? Thank God for that. And he says, listen, because this gets so much better. In verse number 11, verse number 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, right? Just loving on the Lord, just believing in him, right? He speaks and you believe what he says, right? He says, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. Everything you do, abundance in your home and abundance unto every good work, right? All needs met. And you know, the good thing is, it's not your care, right? You know how awesome it is, you know, because I think if we were to say this, you know, how many people would love if they never had to give another bit of care to their finances? People would love that. People would love that. But isn't it a good thing that we can rest from that now? It's not tomorrow. This is not when you get rich you rest. You are already rich. Right? If we don't understand the riches, then I get it. That's why we don't see it. So because we don't see it, we don't understand it. But we can understand. Because it's been given to you as a gift to know. It's been given to you to know. Thank God it's a gift to know. The wisdom of God is not begged for. The wisdom of God, you just come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I need to know more. And liberally, he said, liberally. How does God give to you wisdom and understanding? Liberally. He says that you would be, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, again, verse number 10, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. All that we're talking about here so far is just hearing him, learning from the Lord, right? Just that's it. That's all you're doing. That's all. What else are you trying to exert in? What else are you trying to be diligent in? There's diligence needed in nothing else. Listen, if I need to be diligent in anything else, then Jesus did nothing for that. If I need to be diligent, then he didn't finish it. If he finished it, then I don't need to be diligent, right? It's either, you know, that's the awesome thing about the Lord. We just believe him, right? When he said it is finished, I believe what he said. I believe what he said on the cross. I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that. He said it's finished. My God, it's finished. 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 That's a big word, right? How many people want to not have to give a care to their finances? It's finished. That's what makes you not have to care. It's finished. Now that's not how you act irresponsibly and just walk around the house doing nothing because it's finished, right? Because that's how you're empowered unto every good work because it's finished, right? That's how it happens. That's how you're blessed in everything that you set your hand to because your body is the Lord's and the Lord is for your body, right? He uses this body, right? He uses it. He uses it and he prospers his own body. My God, what kind of a husband would that be that doesn't love his own body? Right? How could you love your wife when you don't even love your own body? Thank God Jesus loves his own body, right? He loves his body. He loves his body. All right. So look at what it says. It says, look at verse number 11, that you'd be strengthened. He's still praying for them, right? He's still praying that you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Thank God it's not my glorious power. His glorious power in me. That you'd be strengthened with all might. All might. All whose might? His might. All of his might. Right? And people say, well, you can't ask for all of the power of God. Just some of it. Right? He didn't say that. He said that you would be strengthened with what? All might, according to His glorious power, right? Unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which, giving thanks unto the Father, why? Because He has made us meet, or qualified, right? To be partakers of the inheritance that is of the saints in the light. The light of God is on the inside of us. Another translation in another place, it says the inheritance in the saints. I believe that's Ephesians chapter 1, right? The inheritance in the saints. He's made us, look, He's made you a partaker. In other words, that you can take along with Him. Partaker, look, He says that you were giving thanks unto the Father. Why should we give thanks? Because He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Look what He says. Who has delivered us, now there we enter into what we initially read, who's delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins. Thank God. Thank God. Let's keep going there. Jump down. We're there. 15. It says, who is the image, Jesus, right? The image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And here's the good thing, where we start coming into this, right? Because it was about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I was sleeping. I don't remember what it was. I don't remember exactly whether I said something to a person or whether I said it to the Lord. But so right as I'm sort of waking up, and I don't remember the noise or something that woke me up, and I don't remember why I was waking up. We were just camping out in our living room. We do like that sometimes. I have no idea why we do it, but we do it sometimes. So all three of us just sleep in the living room. Like, we don't have a perfectly comfortable bed, but we do that sometimes, right? So I'm sleeping on the couch for no good reason. And then right there, right, as I'm just sort of waking up, the Lord just told me, right? He said, knit together. Knit together, right? So I stopped right there, grabbed my phone, right? And knit together, wrote it down, and then I actually looked it up real quick. And this is where the Lord brought me. And I knew the verse was there. I just didn't know where the verse was. But it's in Colossians 1. And what He wants to start talking to us now. So obviously we've been talking about hearing right now and the power of God on the inside of us. But what He wants to do is, you ever work somewhere or hear someone say or watch TV and hear somebody say, you know what, we have to tighten things up. Things have to be tightened up around here. Right? They have to be tightened up. You know, but what that makes people do, people say that because they want you to exert something. That's what what they mean by that is, you got to do better, you got to try harder, something has to be fixed, right? That's what they mean by that, by things have to be tightened up. Now the cool thing is, here's what the Lord is doing, right? What He's doing right now in our lives is He's tightening things up. But He does it differently. He doesn't do it the same way the world does it. Because I'm going to tell you, you can, if you look around and you have a sense in your life, and you look and you say, you know what? Things seem to be a bit loose. You know, like, I can't put my finger on it, but things just seem like a little loosey-goosey, like people say a little bit, right? Something's not exactly tight. Something's not just right. Something's not straight, right? Something's not straight. And the cool thing, because what the Lord does, look at what He does. He begins to talk to you about how everything is created by Him and for Him. In other words, how He is, He begins to teach you how He's the head. That's where He's going today, right? So He's saying in verse number 17, and He is before all things. And you're just hearing, and you're saying, okay, Lord, there's a reason why you're teaching me and talking to me about the fact that you're the head. Because He says, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body. Right? He's the head. So He is the head of this body. This body is the Lord's, and He is the head of it. I'm not the head of this body. He is the head of this body, right? He is the head of this body. People in the world don't believe that. They don't have a head of their body. They don't think that they have a head of their body. There is someone that dominates the lives of the people in the world, right? They may not know it. But in our lives, thank God, He's the head. Thank God that he's the head. And look what it says. It says, and he is the head of the body, right? It says the church. And then he begins to speak. Who is the beginning? Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Preeminence is that he has first place. He's the head. Everything begins. Everything ends with him. Everything is about him. Everything begins and ends with him. In all things in our lives, he has preeminence. So that's a kind of a majestic word, right? Preeminence, right? Because that's what he has in our lives. In our lives, the Lord has preeminence. The body is the Lord, and the Lord is for the body, right? So he says here then, and there's a lot of good things that we can learn from that, even personally, right? So he says in verse number 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, look at what he does. He says, here's what I did with you. He said, I reconciled all things unto him. Right? Because what the Lord was doing is that the Bible says that the Lord was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So what does he do? So he takes people and doesn't tie them together, right? What he does is he brings them to himself. Right? That's a different way of doing it. When people tell you in the corporate world that things need to be tightened up, or you, as a parent, you speak to your children, you say, something's kind of loosey-goosey in this house and things need to be tightened up. Well, you're telling them everybody got to get on their game. Come on, everybody got to get, come on, get with it. But that's not how God does it, right? What he does is he reconciled everything, first of all, perfectly unto himself. And then he says, now you need to learn about how you have been reconciled and what that means to you. How does that happen? And how do things in your home become knit together? Because it means exactly that, right? For something to be knit together is to be made straight. For something to be knit together is talking about a unity that is not man-made, right? A tightening that men cannot exert to make happen. Because men try to exert every January 1st, they try to start exerting. And the world commercially takes advantage of ignorant people, because that's all that it is. It's just from ignorance, right? And it could be, you know what, you're saved and God loves you. Right? But out of ignorance, we play into the thing of the world, because it ain't a mistake that every health and fitness club January 1st starts putting commercials out there. Why? They want you to exert, because they want you to say, you know what, you got to get your act together. Things have to be tightened up. But that's not how your life is tightened up ever. Your life is never tightened up. There is no aspect of your life that is ever tightened up or knit together, right? There is nothing, no relationship, nothing that is ever knit together, made straight, brought together in any other way other than how he does it. So what does he do? He teaches you first, he is the head. That in all things in your body and in your life, he may have preeminence. My God, what an awesome word, right? That he may have preeminence, he says. That he may have preeminence. And then if we, in verse number 20, he says, that having made, he already did, that he made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. Right? In other words, through Jesus to reconcile all things unto himself. My God, what a good plan, right? He says, and I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, everything. Everything heavenly and everything earthly, the Lord reconciled unto himself through the blood of his son. So he says, watch, verse number 21, and you, right? That you, that's good. The what, Lord? Right? And you that were sometime alienated, how are we away from God? Watch how he brings you right back to the verses that we were just talking about listening. He says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies where? In your mind by wicked works. Why do wicked works exist? Because of the mind. That's the right a mind and a heart that hears, that is a true heart, right? A true heart, a heart that hears the truth, a heart that is after God, that is a true heart, right? A true heart, that a person with a true heart, right, has what? The works of the Spirit of God, the fruitfulness. He says fruitfulness unto every good work. He talks about that's a person with a true heart, right? That's us. Thank God for that. But he says here that there was once a time where we were enemies of God. Where? In our mind, right? In our mind, and that did cause wicked works. Yet now he hath reconciled. Now here's the beautiful thing. You notice how, because verses sometimes break up your thinking in your mind. You notice how verse 21 and verse 22 are not one verse? But do you see a period after the word reconciled? You don't, right? No, because watch how you read this. He says, yet now he hath reconciled in the body of his flesh. That "in" doesn't need to be capitalized because that's not a new sentence, right? He reconciled us in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Do you hear those humongous words describing you, right? Holy, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Unreprovable in his sight. And then he encourages us in the next verse. He says to continue. He encourages in the next verse to continue in the faith. To continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. You see how it is that he does that? The knitting together that God does. The unity that he... In other words, the way God tightens up the ranks. The way he straightens, right, the life of believers, of his children, is by doing what? As they listen to me and as they hear, right? He continues in our heart, right? In our heart to draw us near, as we have his thoughts. His thoughts are our thoughts, and his ways then become our ways by listening to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's how the Lord knits us together. And it's a cool thing that it's not done by me. See, as much as people want to exert strength and effort to reconcile relationships and stuff, it's fake. It's no good. It's no good because you can't do that. You couldn't reconcile yourself by yourself. How could if you couldn't reconcile yourself to God by yourself, how could you reconcile individuals? We don't have the power to do that. You don't have power to get into somebody's mind, because true reconciliation is of the heart. We were enemies of God in our mind. When someone is not reconciled to you and there's a breaking there for some reason, it's in their mind. You can't get in there and fix that. You can talk to them all day and you can't fix somebody's brain. We don't have that power, right? But there is a spirit, right? There is a spirit who works in the hearts, who writes on the hearts, writes on your heart, right? And the beautiful thing is that we don't have to exert strength towards someone else, right? The awesome thing is that you look for him. You know that what God wants you to do is for you to seek him, right? You listen to him. And you know what? If there are things that God wants to say through you to somebody else, he'll do that. But that's not our concern. We don't have to be concerned as to when he's going to do it, how he's going to do it, how many times he's going to do it. But, you know, it is not my job. I am not the manager of the Spirit of God. I don't manage the Spirit of God on the inside of me. God never made me manager. He is preeminent over me. I am not preeminent over him, right? He's not in there for me to manage him. For me to say, well, I think now's a good time. God must say, oh, if you think it's a good time, yeah, now must be good, right? Because you think it, right? But we're not managers of the Spirit of God, right? He's in us for the doing. He knows everything. He knows timing. He's precise. He just knows. He knows. He knows. So what do? We acknowledge him in everything. And how many of our ways should we acknowledge the Lord, right? All of them. All of them. How much room does that leave? How much room does that leave in your life to not acknowledge God? Can we say it like that, right? Maybe sometimes when we see the other side, how much room does that leave for you not to acknowledge God? It leaves no room. It leaves no room. So how often should you acknowledge him, right? As often as the Spirit of God brings that up, acknowledge him. There's no room. In other words, there's no room not to. So anytime you're not, you know you can. Freely, right? Acknowledge him. And you know what he says? He'll make your paths what? Straight. He'll direct your path. He'll direct your path. What's that? Knitting you together. Knitting you together. Right? Because what does he do? He teaches you the reconciliation that you have with him. And therefore, anyone, right, that is learning and seeing, what is he doing? He's teaching us all together, getting us all to be of the same mind, right? Paul talked about that with two women, Euodias, I think her name was, right? And the other one, the name of the other one has escaped me right now, right? But he's Syntyche, something like that, right? Was her name? So he says that these women that helped him and preached with him in the gospel, right? He says that he was speaking to the apostles, saying, you know, that you would be of the same mind. How does he make people, you see, be of the same mind? We were enemies of God in our mind, right? How does he fix things in our life to bring things that are separated together? He has to knit you together in the same mind. Whose mind is that? the mind of Christ that you have within you, right? The mind of Christ that you have within you. The mind of Christ that you have within you. So you know what? Let's jump then to look at verse number 27. Just so you can see the abundance that Pastor Mike was talking about a little bit ago. Verse number 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So the riches of the glory of God are found in what? In Christ, in us. Right? And we were just singing about that, who is the hope of glory. Christ in me. So Jesus, we were singing that my hope is in you. All my hope is in you, right? He's in you. Christ in you. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. So he says that, now this is important because it's going to come up in chapter 2 for us to see that. Because what we want to just tie up by the end of this service is the knitting together that the Lord is talking about, right? Knitting together. He's not called you to try to knit your life together by his own exhortation, right? Exerting yourself. But he's calling you to listen, to hear him, right? To hear him, right? It's an awesome thing how Samuel's life started, right? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening, right? Listening. I mean, Saul's problem, what was it? That he just didn't listen to the Lord. Saul had one of the greatest prophets next to him, right? And why was that man such a great prophet? Because he would listen to the Lord. I'm not saying that, right, that he's the best of all, but he was a prophet, right, that spoke the word of God. He wasn't perfect in all of his judgment, right? He wouldn't have picked David. The prophet that the Lord anointed, right, to pick the next king would not have picked God's pick. So in all of his judgment, he was not perfect. But the thing in his life, in everything that was done correctly, why was it done correctly? Because he would hear. But let me put it to you this way. Every single man and woman of God that has ever done anything right, according to God, right, in his judgment, has been done why? Just from hearing him. There's never been any other reason or why anyone has ever done anything right. It's just because they heard what the Spirit of God said. Right? That's been the only thing. And that's the thing that can multiply that in your life today. Right? So he says, listen to this. He says that the riches, he says, to whom he made known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. So the mystery that was made, that was not known before, but that is known now, is what? Christ on the inside of us. The Jewish people that read the Torah didn't understand that. They didn't understand that what would happen is that Christ would reign in us. That they read the words, but were looking for an outward king, right? They didn't know that God could reign in them from the inside out, right? They were looking for an outside in, but he would reign from the inside out, right? So that's the answer to that mystery. And then let's jump down to verse number 29, whereunto I also labor. So you can see how Paul says that he labored, striving according to what? Labor and striving sounds like exerting himself, right? But it's not. Look what he says. According to his working. According to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What is he admitting to? God works mightily in me. It's not me. But it's not I that live, but it's Christ that works mightily in me. That's what he's confessing to, right? Right? It's good to hear, right? Men that we think, and Paul was not infallible, and everything that he said and did was not right. Right? He was not perfect in all that he said. He even wrote down some of his mistakes, right? He didn't do everything perfectly. Right? But the things that he did right, he did how? Because God was working mightily in him. The same way God can work mightily in us, right? Same way. And so look at chapter 2. Look at chapter 2, and that's where we want to kind of rest for the rest of this service. So he says, for I would that ye, that it says that ye knew what great conflict I have for you. And he's still praying for them, right? Still praying for the church in Colossae. And he said that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea. It says, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being what? Knit together, that their hearts might be knit together in love. Now understand this and don't take it the wrong way, right? This is not saying that if you love one another, that's how you're knit together, because that's not the kind of love that it's talking about, right? That, because the greatest commandment, right, our work is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength, right? The second is like unto, and it's an effect and it's a fruit of it, whereas you love God, right, you will see the fruit of love, which is the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. That's a fruit of God, right? So the Lord will love people like you could never love them. The Lord can even love your enemies through you, which thing you could not have done when we were enemies of God in our mind, right? But now that can happen. But he says, being knit together in love, and unto what? All of the riches, look at where they come from, all of the riches, and of the full assurance of understanding. Look at what he just said. That we're knit together in love unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. So let's do this a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. And I don't know if we're going to get down there, so we'll jump down and we'll come back. But so right now, a really important verse is verse number 2. And look at what he says there. In verse number 2, he says, being knit together. Right? Being knit together, right? Meaning being tightened up. Things made straight. Things tightened up in our lives. He says, being knit together. Jump down and we'll come back up again. But look at verse number 19. Number 19. In the same chapter, right, 2:19, because it's one whole beautiful thought from verse 1 all the way to 19, even in chapter 1 where we were. Look at it, says, and not holding, he said, this is the problem that happens with people that aren't experiencing that in their lives, is that they don't hold the head from which all the body, by joints and bands having nourishment ministered to it, right? In other words, our bodies having nourishment ministered to the body by the Spirit of God, right? Having nourishment ministered and knit together increaseth, it says, with the increase of God. So the way that your body and the body, right, of Christ collectively, right, all of our bodies, right, how is it that the body itself, the body of Christ, which is all of us individually, right, put together, how is it that we function so phenomenally, and I don't know if we'll have time to get there, we probably won't, but the Bible says that every part, it says providing, it says what every joint supplies. In other words, every part, every body of Christ, right, every piece of it, doing what Christ is doing. In other words, like the apostle said, working mightily, God working mightily in them. That's how the body, right, edifies itself. That was the third thing, and I told you that there were three things that the Lord had said, right? The one thing was exerting, the second one is knit together, the third one is edifying, right? Edifying, that how, he said, that's how the body edifies itself. That's how a family of believers edifies itself. That's how a church of believers edifies itself. Because it's not the church building that prospers. It's the individual people that are prospering and are also in health as their souls are being knit together, right? As their souls are being knit together into what? Into the same mind. Being knit together into the same mind. What is the Lord doing? Taking minds and knitting them together. How does he knit together? By people having the same knowledge of Christ, right? Being knit together. Being knit together by what? Having this, because what happens? What happens when people speak the same thing and have the same mind, right? They can accomplish anything. Anything. God can do anything through them. Right? That goes back to the miracles that Pastor Mike was talking about, right? Miraculous things can happen through people, right? Right? Even so much, if you even look at the Tower of Babel, right? Look at the things that were done when people speak the same thing, and that's absent of the Spirit of God. And those are outward things that are not miraculous. But look at what can be accomplished just from a fleshly perspective by people without the Spirit of God. How much more glorious is the Lord working through each and every single person in their body and then collectively working together. Imagine what could happen in this world if the body of Christ, if every single person, right, if every single person, every body of Christ, right, everybody, we could say, if everybody, right, everybody was God working through, and every person supplying the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, supplying to things, right? Imagine, my God, imagine. So let's go back up. Let's what does it say there? 19. Yeah, knit together, increase it. See, and that's the beautiful thing. Increases with the increase that's from God. See, the things, we started off this service and we said something about not having to have care over your finances or care over things or care over relationship cares and all of these different cares that people care about, right? Where does the increase come from that we want to increase every area or every aspect of our life? It comes from God. And the riches from where that increase comes from, the mystery, the answer to that mystery is Christ in you. That's Philippians, right? That people don't understand yet, right? That God will meet all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ. They think that that's talking about just heaven, right? But that's fine that it's talking about heavenly things, but where is heaven is in you, right? Heavenly things are in you. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's good to know. That's good to know. So, if we jump back again then to verse number 2, look at what he says again in verse number 2, chapter 2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, right? That's when you're established, right? The Lord teaches you, and you just don't, it's not just in agreeing with what he says, it's that now you know. Now he's established you in the truth, right? You've been established in the faith, right? You've been established in the faith. It says, knit together unto the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Let's do this. If we can just go real quick, Hebrews 10 and verse number 22. When you hear that, let me read it to you from here again. Riches of the full assurance of understanding. Riches of the full assurance of understanding. Listen, there's a lot of words that have been said, but you know what it's all still wrapping up to? Hearing the Lord, right? Hearing the Lord, Him being preeminent in your life. Hearing Him is what knits things together, straightens things out in your life, right? It's good what He's doing. Look at what He says. He says in verse number 22, let us draw near with a true heart. Remember we were talking about that before? A true heart. A true heart is a heart that hears the truth, right? So He says, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of faith. Full assurance of faith. Here it says, full assurance of understanding. Right? Well, why are they the same thing? Because where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Hearing the Word of God, right? The Word of God that's on the inside of you. This says here, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. Here he says, having our bodies sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast to the confession, our profession of faith without wavering, for he that is faithful that promise, and let us consider one another to provoke each other, not assembling ourselves together, which thank God that's what we're doing, right? So that he can knit us together. That's good. So let's jump back again. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 2, right? I don't know that we're going to get much farther than verse number 2. There's a lot more good stuff below. But verse number 2, look. That the hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Look at what it says. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. Can you hear that? To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. What did he say in verse number, in chapter 1, that the mystery is? Christ in you, right? Christ in you. What is he saying here? To the acknowledgement of Christ who is in you. To the acknowledgement of Christ who is in you. To a full assurance of faith, to the acknowledgement of Christ in you. Right? Christ in you. Can we jump real quick so we can see it? Philemon chapter 1 and verse number 6, and we'll come back to verse number 2 again. Right? Philemon 1 verse number 6. Look what he says. That the communication of that faith may become effectual by what? The communication of your faith. He just said, being knit together in love unto the full assurance of faith, of understanding. Talking about faith, right? Being fully assured, learn the hearing of faith, right? Galatians chapter 3 talks about that. That's how you were born again, by the hearing of faith. So what is he talking about? Faith in Jesus, right? Hearing, believing, and receiving, right? So he says here, he said the full assurance of understanding to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, who is what? Christ in you. What does it say here? That the communication of your faith, right? Or the fellowship of your faith also, it says there, may become effectual. Well, effectual is just effective, right? Work in it. Does it, right? Miraculous things happening. The power of the Spirit of God active in our lives, right? He's working. He's living. He's moving. Become effectual by what? By the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ. So He is the good that's in us, right? Every good thing that is in us in Christ, the acknowledge. Again, what are we saying? Acknowledging God, right? Acknowledging God. How you acknowledge Him and how you hear Him. You know, there's a short little message that was just posted on the internet about, and I believe it was titled something like that. What was it? Hearing? How to listen. That's a good little thing for you guys to hear real quick. How to listen. How do you listen? How do you acknowledge the Lord? How do you hear Him, right? It's not some kind of little formula. It's just simple. It's just simple, right? The acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. Let's go back again to Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 2. Colossians 2:2. That's a good thing to remember. Colossians 2:2. The Spirit of God will remind you too. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. He's knitting us together. Do you see the hope? You know, you could look at your marriage and know already where it's headed. You understand? You could look at your marriage and know already where it's headed. You could see your life and know already where it's headed if you're doing the one thing that is required. One thing, he told Mary. One thing is required, and she found it. And nobody's taken it from her. One thing did she find. At your feet. At your feet, right? You know how many times there's this romanticism in the church where they sing that song? Down at your feet, oh Lord. Right? Beautiful, right? But they don't know what the heck they're saying. They think it's going to next to your bed, getting on your knees and praying while as much as you can stand being on your knees. What is being on your knees? Being on your knees, it's just listening. It's just hearing. It's just hearing. She found it. Mary found it. What did she do? It wasn't her physical stance. It wasn't her physical posture that he was pointing out. It was her ears he was pointing out. Her ears, she found it. What did she do? She sat down. What was Martha doing? Work, work, work. What's that called? Exerting herself. She was exerting herself. She was exerting herself for the pleasure of Jesus. And Jesus took issue with that, right? But people would say that that's good, right? You're trying to do something for the kingdom. Trying to do something for Jesus, right? But he took issue with that. He said, she has found the good thing. You know, when you go out and you walk out, you know, it's a good thing to read those three verses that we have hanging out there, because the one is just a powerful thing, right? He says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. There's not a Christian, there's very few Christians, right, who would take issue with somebody just reading their Bible. If somebody came up to you and says, you know what I do? They're not going to say that they exert themselves or that this is their work or their labor, but they're going to say, you know what? I read my Bible every single day. Every day I read my Bible. And nobody would say that there's anything wrong with that. Read your Bible. If they say, you know what? I you know what I do? Here's what I do. I search the scriptures. Because you know what? There's life in the Word of God. Right? Everybody would say, hallelujah, brother. Amen. Amen. But the only problem is that's not the Word of God. Because the Word of God is alive and this book is not. Right? The Word of God is alive and is in you. In you. He's the one holding the sword. This is not a sword. But the church at large, right, calls this a sword, calls this the Word of God, right? Right? But see, it was the Word of God spoke that word to them. The Word of God spoke it and they wrote it down. But the same Word of God that spoke that word to them, so what do? We just throw out our Bibles? No, right? Because how can you teach someone, you need to be able to show them. Otherwise, you're just making it up, right? You could just be making stuff up, but there's nothing. So when we speak something from here, what do? We show you in Scripture, so you can see. But so we don't have to exert ourselves. It's just even in your relationship with the Lord, God has not asked you to have a relationship with God where you're tiring yourself out, bending over backwards, trying to please Him. All He wants you to do is to sit down. That's all He really wants you to do. How pleased was He with her? How pleased was He with her? And you know what? She didn't have a very pretty past. That woman did not have a pretty past, right? But what happened? Right? She would become a new creation. She would become a new creation in Christ. But she listened, right? She listened. If we take that, you know, upon our lives and we see, you know what, Lord, you're not asking me. You're not asking me to try to knit my family together. I'm not the one that keeps my family together. I'm not the one that keeps my relationships thriving, right? Right? Because they get all kinds of things, right? Like your wife can actually get you to help her with dishes by holding that over your head. That, you know what, the way, if you would just help me, because that's my love language, right? Is my love language is that you help me with stuff, and that's how you tell me that you love me. But the thing is, it's not me showing my wife that I love her that makes her love me. Because love is in her mind. Right? I can't make her love me because I can't control that woman's mind and she can't control mine, right? So we don't love people because they do stuff for us, right? That's called debt, right? You do stuff for me, I do stuff for you. And the minute you stop doing stuff for me, I'm going to stop doing stuff for you. That doesn't sound like a real great recipe for a great relationship, right? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That sounds like a business proposition is what that sounds like. That sounds like business. That doesn't sound like marriage. That doesn't sound like covenant, right? But how does God do that? How does He play that out so that we're able to love one another, love our enemies, love in general? How does that happen, right? How does he knit together things in your life? How does he straighten things out in your life? How does he make you to see so you can be in your life walking as someone that knows and sees where he's going? How does the Lord make it so you're a person, you know, right? You're a woman that knows where you're going. Why? Because you already know, if you really admit it, you know what you have to do today, tonight, tomorrow, the next day, the next 5 years, the next 10 years. You have found the good thing, the one thing that is needful, right? The one, and that those are powerful, really, really powerful words. The one thing that is needful is just for me to listen to my shepherd and let him do his awesome job, shepherd that soul.
And that concludes today's message. This message was recorded at Harvest Church, located at 2631 Route 52, Liberty, New York. Harvest Church meets every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and every Wednesday and Friday at 7 p.m. For more information and free downloads of all of our messages, visit us at harvestinus.com. Thank you for listening.